Fond du Lac police are asking for the public's help identifying the suspects in the armed robbery of a Fond du Lac gas station and convenience store. We'll get the latest with Assistant Police Chief Steve Klein shortly after the bottom of the hour. A boil water advisory in the village of St. Cloud is expected to be lifted later today. We're going to talk with Village Trustee Dan Dreyfirst a little bit later on in the program. The public impeachment hearings into President Donald Trump's dealings with Ukraine continuing in Washington, D.C., and a White House aide is testifying this morning. We'll get reaction from our political consultant, retired Ripon College political science professor Marty Farrell, will join us a little bit later on in the program. A driver was cited for hit and run after crashing his vehicle into a garage in Waupun over the weekend and then fleeing the scene. And what is the latest with the case of the Waupun man being investigated in the death of his grandmother? We'll talk with Waupun Deputy Police Chief Jeremy Rosh coming up on the next segment of the show. An outreach center for Wisconsin farmers says they need to focus on diversifying their operations to survive. The message comes as bankruptcy filings continue to mount for farmers across the state. Margaret Chrome is with the nonprofit Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. She joins us on the first segment of the show. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you on the show. A new report from the American Farm Bureau Federation says Wisconsin had 50 bankruptcy filings over the 12-month period ending in September, and that leads the nation. What do you make of that?
Well, it's the third year in a row we've led the nation in this heartbreaking statistic, third year in a row for farm bankruptcies, top of the nation. And we want to be top of the nation for many other things.
Why is that? Why are Wisconsin farmers in particular struggling so much?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. Part has to do with dairy and dairy pricing being so low. Some of it, of course, is related to trade and general market conditions. I think one thing you have to say about dairy is we have the same number of cows. It's just we have larger and larger farms. We could benefit from policies that reverse that. We've had policies that encourage concentration for years. We could work to develop strategies to support the smaller to medium-sized family farms as well, and that would be wise. Meantime, for farmers, it would make some sense for them to be working to diversify. Lenders could be working to help farmers work through their financial challenges. They could be renegotiating their loans. There are lots of ways for lenders to help keep farmers on their farms. And it would be smart for the Farm Services Agency, which is USDA's lending arm, to set that as an absolute standard that they should be working to help restructure farmers' debt, offering temporary interest-only payments. There are numbers of strategies like that. So it's a lot of people who could be helping. It's not just farmers who can be helping themselves, but we as a state, federal government, and as well as the farm community.
All right. How can small family dairy farms diversify?
Well, there are a lot of strategies, and I will say that there are also some programs, state and federal, that can help. You know, there are always one thing that we have going for us is that as the fluid milk market changes, the cheese market is still, we still have a growing interest in artisanal cheeses. And we have strengthened that. Many years ago, we had a terrific Dairy Business Innovation Center, and we're working to try to help bring that back. That opened up so many new markets for our farmers. Let's bring that back. Individual farmers can be looking to find to develop artisanal cheeses. They could be developing alternative, you know, specialty yogurts. There are strategies for the value-added approach, and there is, for example, the value-added producer grant program at the federal level, we've, as a state, have done better than most states in using that program. Also coming up in very early December, the Sustainable Agriculture Research Education Program has a grant cycle that will be closing, but it's available specifically for farmers, and it's intended to be easy. It's to help farmers innovate. Some farmers are using their dairies, but they're also developing some of their other crops. Why not develop work to sell some of their small grains? That's really good for the soil. Small grains help to reduce soil erosion. They help hold water so that you're able to have less runoff during these extreme storm events that we're having. And we can find markets for that. Let's work to build markets for some of the crops that are naturally part of a dairy rotation. And small grains are an example. We're looking to develop a way of helping farmers pay for a part of the crop insurance for cover crops on their land. Many dairy farmers and others can use cover crops. Let's work to help find an incentive to encourage farmers to be planting cover crops. So there are many strategies that we can use. Not single one will solve the problem. But using conservation as a strategy to help farmers stabilize, many farmers have found that grass-based dairy is a strategy that increases market price, but it also is a great way to help on their ground. It costs less, and it helps farmers reduce runoff. So a lot of win-win-wins. Let's build programming to help farmers convert into grass-based dairy. Those are some examples of strategies that we can use.
Let me ask you this. Wisconsin is entering its second year where farmers can grow hemp, and there seems to be interest in that. 70 years ago, Fond du Lac County was the leading hemp-producing county in the entire country. Do you see that as a viable option for farmers, or is that just going to be a side business?
I think that's a really great question. And what it illustrates is that it's really dangerous for farmers to assume that there's a single silver bullet that's going to take care of their problems. I worry about hemp. One thing, I should start by saying Michael Fields Ag Institute has done a lot of hemp research. And we were one of the first out of the box, and we're working on it. We've had field days. We've had hundreds of people coming to our field days, and we have a listserv on hemp. You can go to our website and look for it, michaelfields.org, and you'll find information about how to get onto the hemp listserv. So I'm not naysaying hemp. By no means am I doing that. But I do believe when people are looking at an uncertain market, and hemp is an uncertain market, that it's wise to be thoughtful before you invest capital in it, for example. I wouldn't count on it. It's a very hyped market right now. We don't know how it's going to work, and we want to make sure that farmers who are in financial straits, who are precarious financially, aren't thinking, oh, that's going to be my solution. Please bring the normal, sensible kind of gravitas to the question. Make sure you know what markets you've got. Make sure you've got secure markets. Make sure you don't overinvest for an uncertain market.
All right. What do you hope this new Center for Dairy Profitability that is being created, what do you hope their main focus is, and what kind of a realistic impact do you think that's going to have?
Well, I think that it can have an impact, and I would love to see it build some of the things that I just mentioned, rebuild some of the work we've done on artisanal markets, rebuild our investment that we've had, we had it for up a decade ago, and then we've let it go of it. But let's build work on grass-based dairy. That's a much easier dairy strategy for beginning farmers, for one thing. So when we want farmers to come into any kind of an enterprise, you want to reduce the startup costs, and grass-based dairy can help do that. So this is an important strategy. I would love to see them work on helping to use some of these important conservation strategies that are good for our country, good for our land, good for the future of agriculture, can help us as we're dealing with this obvious truth of climate change, and for which there can be payments to help farmers as they make those transitions. That makes such sense. That's the kind of investment it makes sense to work toward. So let's work toward innovation, conservation, and having farmers diversify.
Margaret Crome with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. We greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Thank you for asking.